As we're standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have showed to us such love in Jesus. And we pray that as we learn more about him, as we hear more about your word about him, you would open our hearts and soften them towards your grace. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, most cultures and civilizations have them, and there seems to have been a renewal of interest in them in recent times, with multi-million pound Marvel films with characters such as Iron Man, The Invisible Woman, and Spider-Man. Various agencies have tried to create community versions, honoring local people who have helped others or made a significant contribution to the neighborhood. Well, I'm talking about heroes. Now, the concept of the hero is, of course, ancient. Greek mythology is full of heroes such as Achilles or Jason. And it seems that people like to have characters to admire or to be inspired by. Heroes somehow can make life feel better. Well, those to whom this letter to the Hebrews was written had their heroes. They'd been brought up to admire one hero in particular. He was a hero who inspired their confidence, and they were tempted to re-establish him as their major hero when they should have realized that they now had an even greater hero to rely on. Now, if you've been here over recent weeks, you might remember that the recipients of this letter were people all brought up in a Jewish heritage who, on hearing about Jesus, had come to realize that he was the one their Bibles had been pointing forward to for centuries. They'd come to believe in Jesus. But their lives had become very challenging. Because they had now recognized Jesus as the Messiah, some of their old friends and those around them had in many cases turned against them. They were facing discrimination at work, problems in their connections with others, and in some cases, persecution and even imprisonment. Well, the writer, we don't know exactly who he was, but he's part of the apostolic community, he puts together what he calls his letter of encouragement. And he does that in order to remind them of the unique superiority of Jesus over all things. Jesus is better than all powers, like angels. Jesus is the greatest human being, the one who now rules. Jesus is one of us, sharing our humanity. Well, this morning we've got to chapter 3, and we find here that Jesus is portrayed as being better than any other heroic figures that we might admire or put our confidence in. So if you haven't done already, do turn to Hebrews chapter 3. If you've got the Black Bibles there, it's page 1204. 1204, Hebrews chapter 3. Now, I don't know which person might be your choice as a modern hero. In a feature in the New Statesman magazine called Heroes of Our Time, the top 10 included Nelson Mandela, first president of the Free South Africa, Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder and philanthropist, and Burmese pro-democracy campaigner Aung San Suu Kyi. Well, for those who first read this letter to the Hebrews, their hero from childhood would have been very clear. The great Old Testament leader, Moses. Now, it's hard for us in 2016 to appreciate just how great the Old Testament people thought Moses was. He was the man who had led the people in their greatest ever victory, the rescue from slavery in Egypt, through the seemingly unsurmountable blockage of the Red Sea. Moses had taken them to the brink of the land that God had promised. Moses was the ultimate prophet. He'd spoken with God face to face. Moses was the agent in bringing the law of God to the people, including the Ten Commandments, that law which gave them their distinctiveness and identity. But, says the author, as the way to deal with pressure and opposition, don't think of returning merely to Moses and what you believed before. because you now know the better way. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. We need to direct our minds carefully towards Jesus. We need to thoughtfully dwell on who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus continues to do for his people now he's in heaven. And when we do that, we find that Jesus is better than any great figure in history before or since. He is better than anyone or anything that we might be tempted to think of as an inspiration for life. I wonder if you noticed how Jesus is described in verse 1. The writer says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." Now, this is the only time in the whole Bible that Jesus is called an apostle. The point is, Jesus is the ultimate, perfect, supreme apostle or sent one. He's also, as we plan to see more of in future weeks from this letter, the high priest of our confession. Jesus is the one who makes the perfect sacrifice to open the way to bring us to God the Father. So as the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus is better than Moses, the old hero. Yes, Moses was an apostle in a sense, in that he was sent by God and he was a messenger to the people of God. But he was never a priest. He never made sacrifices in the temple. Jesus is superior to Moses, not least in that he combines both necessary roles. Now, when you look at Moses, there is much to admire about him. Verse 2 says, "Moses was faithful in all God's house." Moses discharged his responsibilities to God's people. He led them. He taught them, bringing them God's word. He prayed for them. Moses was faithful. And yet when you read about him, you discover that there were times when he didn't believe God's promises. He didn't fully act according to God's purpose. In verse 16, just after what we read, the writer speaks of how the Old Testament people failed to believe God's word. "For who were they? For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses?" See, Moses' leadership was not always successful. He was faithful in many, many ways, but not everything associated with him was completely perfect. The point is, if Moses was a worthy hero as God's faithful one, how much more Jesus? 4 verse 3. "Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honour than the house itself." Because a building is in many ways only the product of the skill of the architect and the builder. The actual physical structure just makes that obvious and visible. And we recognise that in the modern world as well. Many of our great national buildings are remembered as much for those who have designed them as for the building. So we think of Sir Christopher Wren and St Paul's, or Sir Basil Spence and the new Coventry Cathedral. Jesus is God the Father's agent in making all things. He is worthy of more honour than Moses, who was merely one who played his part, who was a servant in the spiritual house that is God's people. Verse 5. "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son." See, Moses, for all his importance in God's plan, was just a servant. Jesus is in a different class altogether. He is God's eternal son. Indeed, Moses, great hero that he was, came in the past partly to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, says the writer. Moses' life and work were in a significant way to be a signpost pointing forward to the future. Moses came to point to the one that chapter 1 has described as the radiance of God's very majesty and the exact representation of God's being. That is Jesus, God's Son. Now these Christians faced very many challenges. They were tempted to move away from the Jesus they'd come to believe in and to go back to what they had known in their earlier life. And that sort of temptation can come to us too. We face struggles and we look at the non-Christian world and we wonder if it might just be easier to go with the flow. Well, what we need to remember, like these early Hebrew Christians, is that there is nothing that compares to Jesus. If Moses was a worthy hero as God's faithful one, how much more the perfectly faithful Son of God himself. And that's why we hear the instruction in verse 1. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Jesus was perfectly faithful. Through Jesus, we have been brought into the house which is God's rescued people. And that can encourage us to keep going and to cling to the truth of God's word when we're under pressure. Verse 6. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are this house, his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Well, there is, of course, a great challenge here to hold firmly to Jesus and to the message of his good news. The writer uses the negative example of the Old Testament people of God, who, when they faced difficulty or opposition, turned from God and hardened their hearts to his message. He quotes Psalm 95, which is a psalm that we looked at a few weeks ago, and he writes, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and of course he's talking about the Bible, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So, verse 12, in the light of this message that the Holy Spirit speaks, take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be any in you with an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Don't react to pressure and difficulty with lack of belief or turning away with hard hearts, but humbly hold to Jesus and to what God has done through him and what he continues to do as he pleads our cause from his heavenly throne. Now, as we are lovingly warned of the dangers of moving away from Jesus, there's also with it a great reassurance. Fittingly, on this Trinity Sunday, when we remember that God is one God, and yet a perfect family of three divine persons within the oneness of God, we're told that God the Father's voice speaks about Jesus, God the Son. God's voice, which the writer describes as God the Holy Spirit speaking now through the word that he inspired in the past. And that message tells us that Jesus is faithful over God's house. Jesus was perfectly faithful in his life, and he is continually faithful in his ongoing work as our high priest, constantly making his faithfulness cover our weakness and failure. So when we get frustrated at ourselves, when we look within and see our sinfulness, when we feel despair at our own weakness and inadequacy, we need to remember that Christ is faithful over God's house as his son. Christ's faithfulness, as it were, makes up for our unfaithfulness. So we can keep holding on to Jesus because we know that he is holding on to us. Now, this is a vital truth that we hold fast to and remember. And actually, we all have a part to play in supporting each other doing so. All of us face pressures in different ways that tempt us to turn away from Jesus. All of us struggle at times and we're tempted to return to a different worldview and lifestyle, perhaps one that we held to in the past. Well, it's then that we need to remember God's word, and it's then that we need our Christian brothers and sisters. Verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, we need one another. We can exhort one another, urge one another, encourage one another. And we can do this by offering a reassurance that we'll pray, sending a little note maybe, or maybe making a phone call, sending a text, popping in to visit. All these things can make a difference as we engage in the struggles of the spiritual battle. And supporting one another helps us keep going, and that will prove that Christ is faithful and that he has been faithful in our lives. Verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Well, this world has many heroes, but Jesus is better than them all. If we move away from Jesus, then there's no one to rescue us, no one to be our advocate as our high priest. But Jesus is our perfect, faithful hero. More faithful for us than any other, even the remarkable Moses. No matter what achievement someone has, Jesus is superior. He is the one we must continue to believe in. He is the one whose gospel word we must continually dwell on. Consider Jesus, holy brothers and sisters, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Christ, faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our lives, you know the pressures that we face and the struggles that we go through. You know the temptations that we have to find some other to put our confidence in. We cry out to you that you would guard our hearts from hardness and from turning away from you. Instead, would you strengthen us in the truth of Christ? Help us to remember that he is your faithful Son on our behalf. And we pray that you'd give us grace that we might encourage one another. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.